And may I add my welcome to Charlie's. My name's Tom. I'm part of the ministry team here. And it is our conviction as a church that as we gather each Sunday and read the Bible together, that we're not just doing a study on an ancient book, but we are hearing the living God speak to us. Now, I believe that's true every week. But actually, as I've been reading the Bible this week, particularly in the light of all that's going on, that has felt very obviously true in the words I've been reading. Now, we had no idea that all this would be going on when we planned our series in the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been doing since the start of January. But now, as we come towards the end of Jesus' most famous sermon, I think as we read it together now, we are going to hear God speak to us very specifically and personally this morning. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. If you've got one of these church Bibles, it's on page 971. But I imagine you might have a different number back home. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read from verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Let's pray. Father God, we pray that we would hear your voice as we read your word here together. Please speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I believe God has two big things to say to us from this passage this morning that can be summed up in two words. Ask and act. Ask and act. First, ask. Ask your Heavenly Father with confidence. Ask your Father with confidence. Jesus wants us to ask boldly. Prayer is not just something that we're meant to do as followers of Jesus, but it is powerful. It is effective. If you are a follower of Jesus, then the God who made the universe has adopted you as his child. So when we pray, we are not throwing words up at a blank ceiling, even if sometimes it feels like we are. Those words do not fade into thin air. They don't disappear into silence. Rather, says Jesus, we are to expect a powerful response. Have a look again at verse 7 from the reading we just read. "Ask," says Jesus, "and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Pray," says Jesus, "because God, your Heavenly Father, answers." Keep asking, keep seeking, keep hammering at the doors of heaven, because he will answer. I'm sure we've all had the experience of our requests getting lost in the system. Perhaps you filed a complaint to a business and you waited and you waited and you waited, but you never heard back. Perhaps you made an information request to something from local government and you got no response. Your email, as it were, just got lost in someone's inbox. And it's tempting to believe the same happens with our prayers, that they go somewhere into the great kind of cosmic business machine, slipping down God's to-do list. He'll answer them one day, maybe. But that's not what the Bible says of our relationship with God. The Bible says that we can pray with confidence because God is no distant cosmic CEO. He has made himself our Father. And even flawed human parents know how to give good gifts. Now, any children back home, I'd like you to use your imagination right now. Think of someone who looks after you, whether your mum or your dad or someone else. And imagine you go on a picnic with them. You're seated down on the picnic blanket, and they say to you, "What would you like next?" And you say, "Oh, well, I'd like another roll, please." Well, they hand it to you, you unwrap it, you take it up to your mouth, you take a bite. And you think to yourself, this roll's a little bit stale. But before you lose all your teeth, you realize that they have given you a stone. Have you had that experience? No, I don't imagine you have. Because even parents, any parent knows not to give their child a rock instead of a roll. Or imagine, tonight they say, "I'm going to treat you. I'm going to go to the chippy. What would you like?" And you think to yourself, well, I'll go for the classic, cod and chips and some mushy peas. Well, they arrive back a half an hour later. They walk in the front door. The smell of the fish and chips fills the house. And before you're even called to dinner, you're all kind of gathered around the kitchen table like kind of seagulls at the seaside, wanting to get your chips. And you each get your own little parcel, you tear it open, you stick in your hand, and you feel on the back of your hand a cold, scaly slither. And out comes a poisonous snake, ready to bite you. And your parent turns to you, "Gotcha, didn't I? I got you." Have you had that happen to you? Well, no, I don't imagine you have. Because even flawed human parents know how to give good gifts. Well, what's Jesus' point? Have a look at verse 11. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" In some ways, this is not a very tactful passage to have for Mother's Day. Because in this passage, I'm afraid, mothers and fathers, Jesus says, "You're evil." But don't worry, he says that about all of us as well. He says that we're all sinners. We all have wrong desires in our hearts. And yet, despite that, if you are a parent this morning, I imagine you know how to give good gifts to your children. And if that is true as a flawed human parent, how much more is it true of the perfect God? That the God who is the source of all goodness, the giver of every good thing, the one who is goodness himself, the God who has made himself your Father. How much more is that true of him? Now, Jesus doesn't promise here that your Father will always give you exactly what you want. Any human parent doesn't always answer a request with exactly the thing that the child asks for. Even sometimes when it's a good thing, a parent might not give that child that good thing at that time for a particular reason. And to be honest, there will be times when we don't know why God hasn't answered a prayer in the way that we want him to. And yet Jesus' promise here is this, that one way or another he will answer in the way that is best in his fatherly love for us. He listens to his children. They do not slip down his to-do list. They do not get lost in his inbox. He loves his children and he listens to them. And he will help them. Now, my guess is you don't need me to persuade you this morning how much we need help at the moment. My guess is if you're a mum or a dad of school-aged children, today perhaps feels like the relative calm before the storm tomorrow. Today is all daffodils and chocolates, but tomorrow you're kind of dreading the thought of having to coax your children to sit down and do school lessons with you. And as you think about it now, you're not sure what the bigger challenge is going to be, getting your head round what they're meant to learn or not murdering them in the process of trying to impart knowledge. Now, my hope is we're going to support one another as church family at this time, encourage one another, work together as families in the church. But I think Jesus' question for us this morning is this. Who are you going to run to first for help when it gets tough? Others may be able to give you all sorts of helpful advice. But God is the one who can change things. Particularly when so often the struggle is actually with what is going on inside us. When your child goes into meltdown and all you can do is stand there feeling powerless. Or you find yourself losing your temper again and you hate the fact that you do, but you also feel powerless to change that inside you. In that moment, will you go to the one person who can? The one person who can change you from the inside. I know for other of us right now, whether it's because of age or vulnerability, we've been told that we need to physically isolate ourselves. And it's been tough for a week, but we don't know how we're going to cope as the weeks go on. We miss seeing our friends. And however much planning we've done, we can't help but feel anxious about whether we've got enough supplies at home. Now, hopefully, we've been encouraged already this morning from what Charlie has said, that as church family and as neighbors, we want to help one another. But do we hear Jesus' call to us this morning? To look, first of all, to our Father who is in heaven. He wants us to ask him for what we need. He wants us to pour out our worries to him and to seek his peace. That when anxiety rises, he wants us to take that angst and to turn it into pounding. Pounding on the doors of heaven. Because our God in heaven is the only one who can help. Now, he might use all sorts of people to answer those prayers. Family, friends, neighbors, members of the church family. But he doesn't want our final confidence to rest in them. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to look to him. I know for others of us in the church family, right now we are relatively fit and healthy, but we're bracing ourselves. We're bracing ourselves for what we fear is to come in our jobs. Some of us run businesses which, to be honest, are hard enough to keep afloat in good financial times. Others of us are being asked to carry on in school in circumstances that feel pretty impossible. I know there are members of our church family who work in the NHS, and we are preparing to care for people outside our area of speciality as the health service is stretched at this time. In all these situations and more, we are going to find ourselves tested. And in times of testing, one of two things can happen. And we have a choice. On the one hand, we can let testing drive us to hardened self-reliance. That self-reliance can be quite individualistic, saying, I'm going to push through this. I can do this. Or that self-reliance can actually sound very community-spirited. We can all pull together. We can do this together. But actually, either way, it's still self-reliance. And sooner or later, self-reliance will undo us. We will, at one point or another, come to the end of ourselves. We will discover that whatever we say, actually, we just can't do this. And it will break us. But we have another choice. We can do what Jesus is calling us to do in this passage. We can pray. We can ask, seek, knock. And we can experience God answering our prayers. We have a Father in heaven. A Father who loves to give gifts to his children. Good gifts. He sometimes waits for us to ask. He sometimes waits for us to ask so that when he does answer those prayers, we will know him as the one who is the giver, who provides for us. My guess is if we've been a Christian for years, we've known the truth of God being our Father for a long time. Perhaps we said it in creeds in church as we grew up. But Jesus wants us at this time to experience it, experience the reality of God our Father as a lived-in reality, a lived-in reality that as we pray, He, our Father, listens to us and we see Him answer our prayers. Because it is only that lived-in reality of knowing God as our Father who cares for us, that makes verse 12 possible. Because we have a Father in heaven, Jesus calls us to act with unlimited love. To act with unlimited love. Verse 12 is one of Jesus' most famous sayings, and yet it's hard to imagine a more all-encompassing and demanding verse. Verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Right back at the start of Jesus' sermon, he said he was going to teach his followers a righteousness that far outstripped mere human rule-keeping. He was going to change people from the inside out. Jesus said he was going to fulfill the law and the prophets, that the Old Testament painted a picture of how God wanted people, to live, that he wanted them to become a city of peace and justice and mercy. And yet again and again, history showed them falling woefully short. But as Jesus stood on that mountain, he announced that he had come to make that vision a reality. He had come to fulfill the law and the prophets. He had come to shape his people so that they would live out that vision of that vision of love. And this Sermon on the Mount, was his manifesto of what he wanted his people to become. And this verse, verse 12, often called the Golden Rule, sums up so much of what has gone already in the sermon. Sums up so much of how he wanted those relationships in his kingdom to work. He was calling his people to act in unlimited love. He calls us to imagine ourselves stepping into one another's shoes and asking ourselves, if I was this person, what do I need someone to do for me right now? And to seek to do it within our ability. He calls us to put ourselves in another place and ask ourselves what they need. Jesus doesn't just say, don't break a few certain rules. Don't just color within the lines. Don't just not murder. Don't just not lie. Don't just not commit adultery. He calls us to have an imagination set on fire by love. As a nation, we've spent the last couple of weeks adjusting to all sorts of new rules about what we can and can't do. For the safety of our nation, we've learned all sorts of places where we can't go, things that we can't do. But as important as that advice is, Jesus calls us to more. Not just not breaking certain rules, not just keeping within certain boundaries. He calls us to use our imaginations in the service of others. To not just ask, how can I carry on living my life as I want to for myself, with the reducing the inconveniences that there are to me. But instead, to put ourselves in others' shoes and respond to their needs. Now, the danger of physical distance and isolation is that we even more easily turn in on ourselves. Now, there have been wonderful examples in the last couple of weeks of people reaching out to neighbors and friends and to those in need. But my guess is, judging by what human nature normally is, that after that initial swell of goodwill, it becomes so easy to turn inward. To not just have a moment of generosity towards others before turning in on ourselves. So much easier, for example, to sit at home wishing that someone would give us a call than to pick up the phone ourselves and phone someone else who we think is lonely at this time. So I'd like us to take a moment to think not just about this week, but the weeks ahead, and think of one member of the church family. Think of one member of the church family. Perhaps it's someone in your life group. Perhaps it's someone that you know and that you see on a Sunday. Think yourself now into their shoes. Think, if I was that person, what do I need right now? What do I need right now? What can I do for that person that I know they need right now? Now think of a neighbor or a colleague. Again, think yourself into their shoes. Think yourself into their shoes. What do they need right now? If I was them, what would I want me to do for them? Well, the strength to do that, for it to not just be a moment of goodwill towards others, can only come as we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Did you see that word at the start of verse 12? So, because you have a Heavenly Father who has got your back, who cares for you, who will provide for you, you can turn out from looking in on yourselves and look to others. Because He is your Father, you can look to the needs of others. Because He is your Father, you know He will care for you, and so you can care for others. Let's have a moment of quiet, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Father, thank you that you hear us, that wherever we are, you hear us if we are your children, that you draw near to us, that you care for us, that you will provide for us. Thank you that whatever acts of goodwill people have done towards us so far, we thank you that our confidence is in you and your fatherly goodness. And so we pray, Father, for strength in the days and weeks to come, to not turn in on ourselves, but to love, to use our imaginations to think of the needs of others and to seek to meet them. Father, we cannot do this in our own strength. And so we ask for the supernatural power of your Holy Spirit at work in each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.